The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, January 6, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Chet, the playoffs are about to get underway with a wild card game this weekend, and the only noise coming out of the NovaCare complex is about a coaching search. Try to get this franchise back on the right track. But the Flyers made some noise today, finally unloading Vinny LeCavalier and Luke Shen to the Los Angeles Kings for Jordan Wheel, who I believe that's how you spell it. But if you look him up, he has absolutely no points this season. So we'll see how that pans out. They also got a third-round pick, dumped a bunch of salary in the along the way. And also this afternoon, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza became the newest members of baseball's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Bill, big news regarding the orange and black. We'll get into that. And, of course, we'll talk about all of the facts, rumors, and speculation with regard to the Eagles' head coaching search.
Well, there's a lot of names being tossed around in the media. And, you know, we'll take a crack at discussing some of them and see what we come up with.
Yeah, you and I and our special guest will tell everyone how we feel about the names being discussed as the Birds' potential new head coach. And I'm guessing we'll voice our feelings about the team's front office situation, too. So it should be a fun show.
You bet. And, you know, we'll be sorting out the Sam Bradford situation, the present free agents. We're going to look at that. And that's not quite as daunting a list as I thought it was until when I looked it up. So we'll take a crack at that. We're going to have our special guest, Carl Henderson, the owner of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, joining us tonight.
Yeah, Carl has a lot of fans, we've discovered, so I'm hoping they're all tuning in to us tonight.
Well, Carl, happy new year, and welcome back to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate you having me tonight. And if I could just wish everybody a happy and healthy new year. You know, that would be a blessing for all of us.
Well, before we get started talking Eagles, Carl, Chet and I both wanted to thank you for your donations and contributions to the show throughout 2015. And, you know, the trivia questions have become a lot of fun and certainly improved Danny Bevin's collection along the way this past year. But with that said, I've had so many people say to me that they knew the answer to the question, they just felt funny calling it. And I just want to say to them, please feel free to call us. Chet does not bite, I promise. And even if you get the question wrong, that's okay. But again, Carl, we really appreciate your support.
Absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to 2016 and, you know, making these prizes even bigger and better yet.
All right. Well, hey, Chet, yep. Why don't you kick us off? We'll talk a little Eagles and let's get this thing rolling.
I'm going to call an audible here. Carl, we've got lots of Eagles issues to discuss, but because it's breaking news and you're such a big fan of the orange and black, I just got to know your reaction to the Flyers-Kings trade against Vinny LeCavalier and Luke Shen, the Kings for young center Jordan Wheel, who's been a pretty decent scorer in the minors, and a third-round draft pick in the 2016 NHL entry draft. The Flyers paying a big chunk of Vinny's and Luke's remaining contracts also. What do you think, Carl?
Well, I think we've gone from in Chip we trust to in Hexy we trust. I just think moving that contract, even if you're, you know, on the hook for half of it, is a big move by Hextall. Losing Luke Shen, I don't think, you know, you're losing a whole lot there. He wasn't playing much. So, you know, I think we're opening a spot for possibly another young guy to be called up. But I think the big picture, and I think this is one that we all need to keep our eyes on, there's one Steven Stamkos that becomes a free agent at the end of the year.
Hmm.
Was that an $8 million cap savings move? I think I saw that number. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it does. There's rumor circulating up here that Vinny's going to retire at the end of the year. I haven't been able to confirm that. I don't know if you guys have heard anything. But if that's the case, that's even bigger and better news for us.
Yeah, I actually did hear that on the Tampa news right before I got ready to do the show, that he said he's looking at getting out.
So I just think Hexie moved a bunch of papers around, got rid of some salary, and maybe, like I said, hopefully they made room for another young guy to be called up. Hopefully another one of these young defensemen, possibly. But like I said, I think he's gearing up for free agency because a player like that, Steven Stamkos could take you a long, long way. And it doesn't appear that Tampa, is looking to re-sign him.
Right. We'll get back to
that. Have a lot of money.
A little bit, yeah. But let's talk some Eagles now. Carl, I know you were disappointed. We all were in what transpired this last 4 months with the Eagles. 7-9 season, Chip Kelly getting fired before the final game. Did you expect it, or did you think it could possibly go as bad as it did?
I certainly did not. I thought for sure there was going to be some way that this thing could clean itself up. But in talking with some people, and as you guys well know, we have some players here in the store, and one said Thornton was very, very talkative a couple of weeks back, and he indicated a lot of problems in that locker room. Amongst players, coaches, things were just not—they just weren't right. I think finally Jeffrey Lurie said, "I think this is enough." It was a bold move, but I'll tell you, I think it caught everybody off guard.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the coaching search. We've seen some of the names already. Deuce Staley's had an interview. Pat Shurmur's had an interview. Adam Gase, the Bears offensive coordinator, has had an interview and apparently is coming back for a second one. Some other names out there: Lions defensive coordinator Terrell Austin, Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, and the OC up there, Josh McDaniels. Chiefs offensive coordinator Doug Peterson. No. And then there's the other names like Sean McDermott, Hugh Jackson. It looks like Sean Payton is out of the running now. Carl, what are you hearing, and what would you like to see with this coach search?
I just there's so many names out there. I just wish there was a solid GM in place that could, sort through this. I don't know that as an Eagles fan that we could, can we wait for another assistant coach to develop and, bring in his guys, and I just don't know. I really don't. I don't think I have one guy that I could honestly say I'd like to see, to be the next head coach. I'm just not convinced.
Bill?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the Adam Gase situation. Looking him up a little bit, he was the quarterback coach of the Detroit Lions. I can't remember the last time the Detroit Lions really had a quarterback. That was back in like 07, he went to the 49ers, and then he's been with Peyton Manning for a few years. You know what? I could be a pretty good offensive coordinator with Peyton Manning doing all his business there. And what have the Bears done? I'm a little skeptical on this thing right now, but one thing I do want to see, I think this is going to drag on a little longer. I think, you got a lot of teams in the playoffs, a lot of coaches that can become available, once their teams are eliminated. But I'm 100% with you, Carl. I'm more to the point they have to get a solid front office in place because we need players. Nobody's going to come in and turn this thing around as a coach until we get some players.
I'm with you. I'm really confused as to, these names that they're throwing out there. Number one, how they got on the list. because I'm only hearing, you know, a handful of them that, you know, the Eagles are going to bring in for, you know, for a look. So I deep down inside, I'm just hoping that there's somebody that jumps out there. I'm not going to say a surprise type thing, but somebody. The question that I have, I guess, is you're not going to be able to talk to some of these guys because they're still playing. You know, the guy from Carolina, you know, you might not talk to him for, another month? Sean McDermott.
Well, they could have talked to him this week.
That would be, though, only if Carolina would allow that, right?
Right, I think so. But it's the bye week, and they usually would allow that.
Okay.
The Eagles didn't reach out to him.
Exactly. So what does that tell us?
Yeah.
Sean's another interesting guy, as we talked about last week a little bit. You know, until he got guys like Luke Kuechly and a couple of those guys, that Carolina defense wasn't very good either. You know, you got to get players. You can't trade them all away and get nothing in return.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, here's my take. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm 95% sure that Bill Cowher's staying put in the TV studio, John Gruden's staying put on the Monday Night Football broadcast, and the guy who would have been my first choice, Sean Payton, said today that he's staying put in New Orleans. So that leaves these guys as my top three. The Bengals offensive coordinator the last couple of years, Hugh Jackson, he's 50 years old. Look what he's done with Andy Dalton and the Bengals the last couple of seasons. Now, he did coach the Raiders a few years ago, 2011. The team started 7-4 before struggling down the stretch to an 8-8 finish. They missed the playoffs, and that cost him his job. But he's been coaching in the NFL for 15 years. I think he's going to be a great fit if he were to come to Philly. So I think they should reach out to him. He's my third choice. My second choice is Adam Gase, the Bears offensive coordinator. Now, Bill, like you, part of me fears that this is a 37-year-old guy who is this year's Chip Kelly, you know, the hot name that's being courted by a bunch of different teams. But maybe he's a bit overrated. I know he was well thought of in Chicago and helped Jay Cutler a bit this year. I know he did well in his 2 years as the Broncos offensive coordinator. But like you said, he's got Peyton Manning. But what I do like hearing is that Peyton Manning himself thinks the world of Adam Gase. And that's a nice recommendation right there. And apparently his lengthy interview with the Eagles brass on Tuesday went very, very well. So that's why he's allegedly coming back in this weekend for a second interview, unless someone gobbles him up. So you could do worse than Adam Gase. My first choice, though, is Sean McDermott. He's the Panthers defensive coordinator the last 5 years. You know, he was in Philly before. He was very young at the time. He succeeded Jim Johnson. Tough act to follow. He knows the passion of the Philly fans from growing up in this area, and he was an Eagles fan and his previous stint with the Birds, of course. More importantly, though, just look what he's done with Carolina. Yeah, he's got Kuechly, but his defenses have been in the top 10 the past 4 seasons. No other team can say that. So Sean McDermott, a real good defensive mind. He's still just 41 years old, believe it or not, and I think he's ready to be a head coach. So he's my choice, Sean McDermott. I don't want Doug Peterson, definitely not. McDaniels, Patricia, Pat Shurmur, bring him back as offensive coordinator, that's fine, but not as the head coach. Deuce Staley's not ready. Sean McDermott or Adam Gase would be my top two choices.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Interesting list. Good thought process there. And you know, there's nothing to say that Gase can't do this. I mean, you watch what Bill O'Brien did. You know, you could have easily said the same thing that he had Tom Brady, but, you know, after going over to Penn State for a short time and going to the Houston Texans, he's turned that thing around. He's made the playoffs, and he has no quarterback. So
That's true, it
certainly can be done.
Yep.
So, hey, speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk some Sam Bradford. You guys in or you guys out? It's getting to be go time. We got to make some decisions on this guy. We ready to pony up some big money for him, or are we going to let him walk and start over?
Carl, go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of it's going to hinge on, you know, who your next coach is, you know, for him to make a decision. But I think in the long run, I think you're going to have to franchise tag him to bring him back, you know, for another year, because you've got an awful lot invested, and to let him walk, what's the franchise tag going to be worth? Like an extra $3 million, I believe.
I think it's $23 million total. I believe it's a $23 million.
Yeah, $23 million total.
So, yeah. So, you know, in the NFL world of money, that doesn't seem to be very much. And I think he proved, you know, the second half of the season that, you know, he's worth bringing back. I just can't see letting him walk. You get nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you don't bring him back, you're essentially starting over. So, I mean, that's certainly going to be a key talking point with any of the coaches that they're bringing in, the prospective coaches. You know, how do you feel about Sam Bradford? Do you want us to go all out to re-sign him? I would definitely want him back, unless you're going to commit to trying to get Kaepernick or someone else. You got to bring Bradford back. Who are you going to have? Sanchez and some third-round rookie? How's that going to sit with the fans? Not very well. I'm going to bring Bradford back if I possibly can. And, you know, hopefully you're bringing in a coach who can work with the quarterback. And that's one of the selling points of Adam Gase, because he's apparently very quarterback friendly. So maybe you hire Gase and you tell him, you know, how you feel about Bradford. You want to bring him back. Let's do it. And then hopefully, you know, Bradford continues to get better and better over the next couple of years. He certainly had a better second half of this year than he did the first half. So he's still, you know, relatively young as quarterbacks go. I'm all in. Bring Bradford back and, you know, hopefully get a coach that can help him develop even further.
Well, you know what? I always hate when I agree with you guys, because it just doesn't make it near as much fun. But I'm going to agree with you, too. I think, not because I think Bradford's going to be the savior by any means, but I think you can overpay him the 1 year if you have to here as a franchise guy. But this quarterback draft is going to be very, very suspect at best. Your chances of getting that guy you're looking at is, where are we going to pick? 9? Is that the right number? The chances of getting that guy, 10, it's going to be a franchise guy.
No, so we're 13.
Makes it even worse. You know, I just don't see that happening. This isn't a strong draft class for the quarterback. So I think, like you say, you give the coach, whoever he is, and say, you know what, we're going to go 1 year with this guy, and we'll see where it falls out from there. But, you know, I don't see Bradford being the guy for the next 5 years, or a new coach wanting to have him for the next 5 years, you know, the length of the contract that he's going to get. So I'm going to say go Bradford 1 year, overpay him if you have to, and get ready to move on. And if it turns out that he can win with a depleted roster, then you regroup for next year.
Can I throw this?
Yeah.
Can I throw this question in there? What do you do? Say Bradford walks, you allow him to leave. What is the backup plan? I mean, where are you going to look?
Then you got to consider making a deal for Kaepernick. You got to consider RG3. I heard RG3 wants to go to Dallas. Good luck with that. You got to work on a deal for someone. I'm going to say Kaepernick, and then you have Sanchez, maybe Kaepernick, and somebody that you're drafting. You're going to have to draft a quarterback as well somewhere, you know, the third or fourth or fifth round, and hope for the best. But that's why it's so bleak. If you don't bring Bradford back, there are no sure things, no great options. There are no can't-miss guys among this year's quarterback class, I don't think. There's a lot of potential, but there's not a Andrew Luck, you know, in this draft. So boy, that's why you got to bring Bradford back, in my opinion. I hope it doesn't come to, you know, him walking and us looking at Mark Sanchez next September.
Well, you know,
yeah,
I think one other thing you have to think about is this team ready to say, like the Phillies, well, you know, we're a couple years away, and then take that approach? Or are they going to say, you know what, we got to win now, and then I think that becomes a whole nother approach.
Well,
they're not going to rebuild.
I don't see how they can with the commitments that they have, you know, with current salaries. You know, who's taking a DeMarco Murray off your hands? I don't know. I mean, if that's the road, boy, we're going to be, you know, we're going to have some really unhealthy fans in this town.
You mentioned DeMarco Murray, Carl, and that's an interesting name. I think he may have a good year next year, because you're bringing in a new coach who saw what happened this year. I think the new guy is going to assess the situation, know that Murray's going to be back, and figure out how to utilize this guy's talent. Look at some film not only from this past season, but from what he did the year before in Dallas. Now, yeah, we don't have the Cowboys' offensive line, unfortunately, but you know, you're going to draft, I think, an offensive lineman with your number one pick in April, and I think you're going to, you know, have to bolster that line and then figure out how to best utilize DeMarco Murray. Run him up the middle like you saw on that 54-yard run. He's a pretty good north-south runner, and I want to see more of that. And I want to see the next coach figure out how to get this guy back on track. He may not run for 1,900 yards again, but, you know, if he runs for 1,200 instead of 700 or whatever, that's a big improvement. So I think knowing that Murray's going to be around, you're going to have a coach who can figure out how to get the most out of him.
Well, I agree. Got to get your money's worth out of the guy. And you know, the whole three-headed monster idea in my mind and feed these guys. You know, they get better the more they carry the ball. And nobody carried the ball enough to get better this year. Of course, they got behind in games and had to do some different things. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you have much choice, but you better run Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think you need to throw out this year's tape. I don't think any coach coming in wants to look at that.
It's very depressing.
No, but you know what, Carl? That's to my point, I guess, that, you know, we certainly don't want to rebuild, but are we good enough not to rebuild? Yeah, we got some big salaries. We got some things that are going to have to happen here, but do we just have enough talent to say we can add a couple parts and be significant again? I don't know that we do. I think there's too many holes, which leads me to the next thing I wanted to bring up about these unrestricted free agents. You know, we talked about Bradford, but you have Walter Thurman you have to deal with. You have Nolan Carroll, who didn't have too bad of a year coming off. Now he's injured. You have those two to deal with. You have Cedric Thornton, and you have Vinnie Curry that you have to deal with. And the rest of the guys, Ijaratutu and Biggers and Najee Good and Thad Lewis, you know, are probably, you know, they're okay. But, you know, you got to make some decisions on these guys, or you got even more holes to fill. Chet, you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. Walter Thurman for me is a definite bring back guy. You saw what he can do this year. He played well. He had three interceptions, and more importantly, he stayed healthy. That was a knock on Thurman his previous 3 years or whatever in the league. He had a tough time staying healthy, but he did play every game this year. And he had the three picks to lead the team, which isn't saying a whole lot, but he played pretty well. You got to bring Walter back. Nolan Carroll, as you said, was playing pretty well until he got hurt and missed the last 4 weeks or whatever. He had a couple of picks also and, you know, helped to stabilize things in the secondary. So I'm going to try to bring both of those guys back. As for Cedric Thornton and Vinnie Curry, I think, yeah, you probably tried to bring Cedric Thornton back. He hinted at wanting to test the market, but who knows? Vinnie Curry maybe is an interesting case in that it's going to depend on what kind of system the next coach brings in, a 3-4 or a 4-3, and you know how he's going to fit in. The other guys, as you said, Bill, you know, they're just kind of borderline players. He has Ijaratutu, EJ Biggers, Thad Lewis, the third string quarterback. You know, who cares? But you got to bring, in my opinion, Bradford, Thurman, and Carroll back, and probably Cedric Thornton. Those are the big four.
You don't think Vinnie Curry is a gotta-have guy on that defensive line?
I don't think they utilized him enough this year, and maybe it's because they were playing the 3-4. I don't know. Vinnie Curry showed a lot of flashes in the second year of the Chip Kelly era, but then this year they were talking about playing him more snaps, and I think he actually played a little less or about the same and wasn't as productive as he was in 2014. So he's not a must for me, but it'll be nice to have him back if you can get him, but he's not one of the definites for me.
Okay.
See, I think what they did with Vinny, is they put him in that same deal as my boy Brandon Graham and also with Trent Cole. You're trying to take a big defensive end and playing them in a 3-4 and trying to make them into linebackers. They're not meant to
right.
be linebackers. That's not what they do.
Go back to the 4-3.
You know, right. I mean, and that's been my beef with Graham. You know, he can rush the quarterback, but you can't do it from a stand-up position. And they tried to put Vinnie Curry out there, and he just looked like a big, big guy out there trying to be in space, and not such good results. Hey, the other guy that also is a restricted free agent that is going to have to be looked at is Matt Tobin. You know, I don't know what you do with him. Obviously, the guards got the blame for the offensive line play for the most part, but I think unless you're actually sitting breaking down every film, Kelsey wasn't very good, and Peters wasn't very good. So I don't know that you can blame everything on Tobin. But do you want to spend the money to keep him? I believe one of those guys on Post Game Live named him Turnstile Tobin.
Yeah, that's why he's not high on my list either. I mean, yeah, they do have to shore up the offensive line, but you could probably do better by, you know, finding a free agent or making a trade or just, you know, hoping you can get somebody in the draft. He wasn't great. He was certainly not a all-pro guard out there. That's my number one concern, other than the whole quarterback situation, for the next coach. You know, what is he going to do about the offensive line? Jason Peters is another guy who may or may not be back. I mean, he says he wants to finish his career in Philly, but he looked like he was going through the motions some of the time. I know he was hurt a lot of the campaign, but I don't know. Do they bring Peters back or let him go? I think you got to bring him back and hope that he can stay healthier just because of the deficiencies on that offensive line. So you bring him back. You hope that Jason Kelsey rebounds with a better year. You hope that Lane Johnson stays healthy as he did this past year. And you got to find some new guards because the guys they had this year just didn't get it done. So, you know, you got to draft at least two offensive linemen, maybe three, and maybe pick up a free agent to boot. That's a key, fixing that line.
I believe Peters has 1 year left on his deal, so I'm almost certain he'll be back.
Yeah,
I can't imagine him wanting to leave.
Right, bring him back, keep him healthy.
Hey, hey, Carl, I'm gonna start off with you because I have one final Eagles questions for you. You are now the head coach as of right now. You have to go into the draft. You have no second round pick. You're picking, what did we say, 13th.
13th.
I'm not going to ask you for a player because obviously that's too complicated at this point. But what position are you picking with your first round, number 13, knowing you don't have a second round? It's got to be a keeper.
Offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman, first rounder. Okay.
Absolutely.
Ted?
I need a 350-pound hog that I can plug in next to Kelsey, and then I need to go out and I need to sign the best free agent on the market to solidify that offensive line. They're my first two. They would be my first two moves.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely going the O-line. I mean, I can't imagine them doing anything but if they don't take an offensive lineman, I'm going to be shocked. After all the abuse that they took, you know, these last 2 years for not drafting one and then seeing what happened with the line this year, I mean, we make fun of the guys in the front office sometimes down at the NovaCare complex and the Link, but they know that that is a must. So, yeah, you got to go offensive line with that number one pick and probably, like I said, with maybe one of the third or fourth round picks as well. They have 2 third round picks. So shoring up the line is a key for me.
Well, I think I'm going to somewhat agree with you.
Because that's the second time tonight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and only because I'm just, you know, I'm not sure you get that stud at number 13. So, yeah, you know, kind of have to look at the whole thing because I think I might be looking for a safety that we should have drafted a couple years ago when we took Marcus Smith. By the way, what about Marcus Smith? But anyway, when we didn't take that, we still need a safety, so... If there was a best player available between those two positions, I think I'd take whoever I had on my board as the best available player.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll say
hey, by the
about
way,
Marcus Smith, Chet.
Yeah, I'll get to Mark. Before I get to Marcus, I saw one mock draft already that saw the Eagles taking Taylor Decker, the big offensive tackle from Ohio State. 6'7", 315 pounds. He played at Ohio State. Played well, I'd be fine with that. Yeah, Marcus Smith actually got on the field and had a sack in his last game. it was good to see. I'm still not ready to say he's not a bust, but, you know, maybe, just maybe, that he's ready to develop. Maybe it was Chip Kelly holding him back. Who knows? So good to see him out on the field, running around, actually got his name called by the, you know, national TV people. So who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us and be a contributor next year.
Yeah, I was thrilled to see him out there, too. And you know, the kid's a kid, and he's just short taking his abuse. I was kind of glad to see him out there and mixing it up. He was mixing it up, playing hard.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, it's trivia time with our first correct answer winning an 8x10 really cool black and white photo of Eagles rookie Eric Rowe, signed last night at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. To the first person that calls in and correctly answers our trivia question, our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer that trivia question, 929-477-2855. Okay, we're going to go Flyers hockey tonight to win an Eagle signed picture. So I say, why not? Chip Kelly ruined our football season. By God, we're still going to give out a great Eagles picture on a Flyers question. All right. And it's easy. It's easy. If you're a hockey fan, Carl Henderson knows this one off the top of his head. All right. This player, Carl, you can't answer this, by the way. This player holds the Flyers team record for power play goals in a season with 34. Can you name him? Okay. This player holds the Flyers team record power play goals in a season with 34. Can you name him? Okay, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, fellas. Well, hey, I want to slide over to the Flyers, but a couple of things that just kind of popped up on my screen I was looking at. Our old friend Mike Richards signed a 2-year deal with the Washington Capitals this evening. So
wow.
Good to see Richie back. I always liked him, and I hated that he fell onto some whatever problems. We'll call them problems. But good that it's a 2-year deal, it looks like, and he's going to get a chance to play in the NHL. Carl, what you say?
Well, I was a huge Richie fan, so, you know, I'm glad personally for him that he is getting a second chance. Hopefully he learned from his mistakes. He did win 2 cups with the Kings, so, you know, I know Washington is all in to win a cup. I mean, they are just, you know, they added Justin Williams in free agency. You know, they've done a couple of other things, TJ Oshie. They're all in. The Capitals are all in. I just, you know, they're making a lot of noise, so. That move is good for both the team and for Richie. So I wish him, you know, the best of luck.
Me too. Hey, the other thing I noticed in looking at this deal with LeCavalier and Shen, it looks like the Flyers are keeping 50% of both of those contracts. So $2.25 million for LeCavalier and $1.8 million for Shen stays with the Flyers. So, although it was probably a nice dump for Ron Hextall, not a total dump, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. still good because Vinny just wasn't playing. He wasn't even practicing with the team, from what I understand. So I just think that was a good move, and I think the next one to fall is R.J. Umberger. I mean, he's just, you know, you just need to move on. You know, and if it means eating half the contracts, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to move this. You got too many young players that are on the cusp of you know, coming to the NHL. So you got to make room.
Absolutely.
Hey, Carl.
And they've got some guys.
Carl, you've heard both Bill and I singing the praises of one Shane Gostisbehere a few times over the last 6 weeks. He was again the number one star last night, another goal for him. How impressed are you with this kid?
Watching him in college, you know, for the couple of games that I got to see him in person down at the Wells Fargo Center when they won the championship, he was dominating. You know, he was, you know, a man amongst boys at that level. He just sees the ice so well. And I think that's so important. Size is always what they're looking for, but the kid just sees the ice unbelievable and has a wicked shot. So I think that those combinations are going to make him very successful.
And I saw an interesting stat last night. He's got 7 goals, 9 assists, 16 points in 22 games. But all 7 of his goals have either been game winners or goals that put the Flyers ahead. So,
yeah.
I mean, he comes up big. He knows when to, you know, fire that puck and help his team out. So, yeah, I'm very impressed with what he's done.
Plus, I think the coach has a lot of confidence in him to put him out on the ice, on the power play, valuable minutes on the ice.
Absolutely.
Hey, Carl, you know, the Flyers got back home last night and they beat the Canadiens 4-3. And as Chet mentioned, the Ghost was the number one star. But I wanted to ask you, as you've probably seen them more than Chet and I put together, at least at this point in the season, does this team have what it takes to make the playoffs, or are we going to toy around just below again?
No, I think they can slip in at the bottom. You know, now that's just basically, you know, where they're at today with today's roster. I think they're good enough to qualify. And then it's at, you know, can you ride a hot goaltender? Can you find somebody who's on fire? Anything can happen once you get in the tournament. So, I think they're good enough, you know, currently, but I think Hexie's got, you know, I think he's got something up his sleeve yet. I don't think he's moving these contracts just for the sake of moving them.
Well, hey, I agree with you too. And hey, I wanted to talk a little bit of Phillies with you, but since this Hall of Fame vote came in, and we have Ken Griffey Jr. earning a record 99% of the votes, and 99.3, and Mike Piazza getting in at 83% of the votes. You good with that? Jeff Bagwell finished third out of the mix. What, you good with those two?
What do you think, Carl?
Junior was a can't miss in my book. I just think he's everything. You know, from day one, he's been there. You know, his play on the field. Just everything about him, you know, made him a number one. And Piazza, I don't know. I'm still a little skeptical. I hope it's a solid decision by the Hall of Fame. But does this open up, you know, the possibility for some other guys that, you know, have been talked about, let's say?
Yeah, just, well, just hearsay on Piazza, though. I mean, nothing ever definite about Piazza as far as I know. So, you know, I think that has something to do with it. But I think the guy's numbers and all that certainly make him worthy. I mean, just what he did on the field as a catcher and as a hitter, and the fact that he was, you know, the lowest drafted player ever to be elected, 62nd round pick. He had a pretty darn good career for being such a low draft pick. I think he's certainly worthy with what he did on the field.
Oh, me too. And
I'm
going to say Mike Piazza should have been in before. Interestingly enough, though, I didn't go through all the details on this, but I did notice that both Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens' votes increased.
Hmm.
They're still not near the 75%, but they both increased by about 6% of the votes. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out down the road. Maybe it's not, you know, by the time 10 or 15 years rolls by, maybe it's not quite as hardened as it is now. So, hey, listen, we're going to get our pick'em pool champion, Danny Bevins, on here shortly, but I think we may have an answer to our quick trivia question. We have another caller. So welcome to the show. Who do we have?
Fred Hugo.
Fred, what's going on?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Wow. The show's awesome, as
just
always.
Talking Eagles. Talking sports, man.
Should I do a chant?
E-S-G-L-E-S,
Eagles!
There you go. Our first Eagles chant in quite a while. I love it.
In 2016, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
First one in 2016. We need one. We need one, man.
Oh, we do.
Wow, man. I haven't been more wrong about something in my life. But,
no,
me
neither.
Chip. But I'm proud to be wrong because we're moving forward now. But
yep.
I do have an answer. I think it's the right one, too, because I heard it yesterday because, ironically, it's this guy's birthday. I'm not a like big statistic Flyers guy, so it's a total guess if I'm wrong. But is it Tim Kerr?
It is Tim Kerr.
All right.
85 and 1986, he had 34 power play goals.
I read somewhere something on a site, a Twitter maybe, I think. It was his birthday. I forget what it was.
Oh,
and his birthday was the 5th. So that's – otherwise I wouldn't have known the answer.
One of my favorite Flyers in the late 80s.
And you know, interestingly enough, Kerr also is number 2 and number 3 on that same list. So, yeah, he was quite a goal scorer. Well, Fred, hey, you're the winner of the Eric Rowe signed photograph courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. So if
awesome.
You would,
thanks, Carl.
Send me a message and with your address and all, and I'll get it to Carl, and we'll get that out to you.
Could I ask Carl a quick question?
Sure.
Carl, I'm just curious. You probably can't get into it, but like, what type of stuff were they like saying as far? And I know you can't, like, I guess you can't say, but was it like real bad in the locker room, or was the locker room split like Donovan T.O. type of thing, or like what? What was, like, the split that they were saying?
I believe the way I could kind of answer the question, there were some big communication breakdowns between assistant coaches and getting the message on the field to the players. Chip
wow.
was constantly changing things, you know, basically from one practice to the next. And it just, you know, guys didn't know from one minute to the next. And I never really got that feeling. And like I said, Sed was pretty adamant about, you know, what he was saying. And, you know, he wasn't happy about his personal playing time, but he said, aside from that, he said, you know, we're out of place on too many plays and that shouldn't be. So I can only imagine that one Billy Davis might be looking for a job here real soon.
Oh, he's gone.
Nice. Well, thanks, guys. I'll hang up. Let you get back to your show. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Fred.
All right, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. Well, hey, good answer. Good discussion. Appreciate Fred calling. Hey, you know, we talked about our Philly Press Box Radio Pick 'em Pool all season long. It's finally come to an end, and Danny Bevins is the winner. He wins the Brian Dawkins Eagles full-size helmet for his first place prize. And, you know, Danny finished with 160-82 record, which is 66%. That's pretty darn good. And Chet, you finished in second place, or should I just say you're the first loser.
Four games back,
but you had a great season, partner, just not quite good enough. So we want to welcome Danny to the show, congratulate him on winning the blank old school Eagles mini helmet unsigned. Danny, welcome to the show, my friend.
Unsigned, okay. That's
unsigned,
great.
But I'll tell you what, if you give Carl Henderson $20, he may be able to get Vince Papale to sign that for you on Saturday.
Hey, that's worth $20 easy. No problem.
Way to go,
no,
Danny.
We're just kidding with you. Congratulations. You know, that was a heck of a season. That 66% of the games. I don't know that I remember, unless it was really early in the year, you having a bad week.
I didn't, and I think that was the key. I really didn't have a week that was under 500. I think my worst week was 7-7 or 8-7, and I think that's probably why I lucked out in the end.
I don't know. You were winning at a pretty rapid pace. I don't know if we could call it luck as you kept on kept on going.
Well,
and,
I never really did win the week. The weekly, I think I was tied once, but somebody always edged me out and had one or a couple more games than I did. But you know, I guess I was consistent.
Yeah, you did
there,
all right.
There you go. There you go. Well, Carl, since ESPN, you guys, Chet as the second, and Carl the lead for a long time and did not win. What do you guys have to say, Mr. Danny Bevins?
I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but we were breaking up during the
Yeah, question. You were breaking up there a little bit, Bill.
Yeah, you were.
No, what I was saying is, what do you guys have to say to Danny Bevins as Carl,
okay,
who had the lead, and Kip, who finished second. Now do you
hear
me?
I'll say it. Danny, you had a heck of a year, and you know, another week or two, I might have been able to catch you, but going into that final week, four games back, I had two options. Just, you know, pick the guys who I thought were going to win and hope that you had a couple of missteps, or I could try to pick, you know, five or six upsets. But even if I picked five upsets, that'd be, you know, four out of five, and if I got four right, I'd still be a game short. If I picked like six or seven upsets, chances aren't good that you're going to get all of them right. So I just played it safe, went with the favorites or the teams I really thought was going to win, and in the end, it didn't change anything at all. I still finished second place, four games back. You had a great year, so congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And that's why you didn't have a chance in the end, though. You didn't take any chances. I really thought you were going to.
It was still a long shot.
Right. True, it was. I tell you what, my hardest thing all year was chasing down Carl Henderson, though, when he had that three-game lead early. It seemed like he had that three-game lead almost every week there for a while. I thought I was never going to catch him.
All right, wait a second. I got to break up this love fest because this is starting to get just a little annoying. All right,
get him, Carl.
Here we go. Bill, next year with our grand prize, we're going to have a second prize for the biggest trash talker.
Oh,
well, yeah, that means you're going to give me two because you just unleashed the hound.
There you
well,
go.
I just, you know, I'm just setting the record for next year because you set the bar pretty high this year. So
I've actually been holding back, Carl. I'm telling you, you're going to give a prize for trash talking. I hope you make it a good one because that's mine. That's all mine.
Like I said, I'm done with the love fest. So
right. Taking off the gloves. All right, Danny. Well, hey, we wanted to have you on, give you your 2 minutes of glory here, and now we're getting rid of you.
I actually had a whole speech, but that's okay. It was fun.
put it on that Trash Talk website.
I will.
Listen,
you could
call back at 8:01.
That's it.
There you go. Good line.
Good line, Carl. All right, Danny.
All right,
thanks buddy,
lot.
And
thanks
congratulations.
Lot,
and we'll get that prize out to you.
Thanks to all you guys, man. You guys are
all
great.
Right.
All right.
Bye bye.
Hey, Carl, as we talked about earlier, you started out 2016 with the current Eagles cornerback Eric Rowe at the store last night. What else do you have lined up here in January? You got a lot going on.
Well, I got one of the show's favorite gentlemen coming in this Saturday. Vince Papale will be here, and you know, right on cue, Vince has been tweeting and Facebooking, you know, that he'll be here and talking with a bunch of people. So we're really, really excited. I had Vince years ago, probably 10 years ago, long before the movie, because the movie's now, I believe, 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then next week we got a couple of the old 1960 Eagles coming in, Pete Retzlaff and Maxie Bond. They're always great. The stories just never stop. So that's pretty much where we're at for January. I was kind of hoping that the Eagles thing was gonna, you know, that flame was going to stay lit for a while because we had some, we had some things in the fire, but, you know, everybody's pretty much going to be out of town within the next week or so. So that's it at the moment. Vince on this coming Saturday and the 260 Eagle guys next week. And you know, we'll see what February brings.
Carl, what time for Vince Saturday? Is it 1 o'clock?
1 to 3. Yep.
Okay.
1 to 3. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, and so, for the listeners, that's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road, Habertown, PA. And your phone number, Carl, 610-789-4996. Or they can order for mail order. Isn't that right? At carlscards.com?
Absolutely. Yep. We got all the bases covered.
Okay. And also on Twitter at Carl's Cards. So there's not a way that people can't get a hold of you to get things, and you'll get them signed and sent if they can't make it over to the store in Havertown.
Absolutely. Yep. We look forward to it. Feel free to, give us a call or a message. We're all over the place. So we're heavily connected on the Philly Press Box page. And, we're gaining momentum every week.
Yep. Hmm. Hey, and Carl, you just, again, for the listeners, you'll have helmets, pictures. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to have available for these guys to sign.
Well, this week, a special item, is the movie poster, which is a highly collectible item. A lot of people seem to like it. It has Mark Wahlberg on the movie poster, and Vince signs it real nice with Invincible, and he'll put anything you want on it. So that's probably the biggest item. But we'll have the full Eagles footballs, mini helmets from the 74 to 95 era, which is very popular. It's the Kelly Green with the silver wing and the white outline. So we'll have those as mini helmets, full-size helmets. I believe I've gained another photo today. So I think we're up to 6 different photos of Vince. He's been making a comment on just about every one of them on Facebook. It's pretty cool to hear his comments and stuff. So I'm really looking forward to Saturday.
Nice.
Especially when we've got a couple hours in the store with them. So I think everybody's going to, have a real treat there. But next week, we've got the Eagles minis, which are they're now discontinued by Rydell from the 59 era, which is all Kelly Green and silver wing. So those are a highly collectible item, the mini helmets, because most guys – the full size just take up so much room. A lot of guys collect them, but the minis are very popular.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, I know a few of these guys, and Bob Sullivan, our friend, and some of the others, are also friends with Dennis Franks. Were you able to get that Vince Papale, Dennis Franks laughing picture?
I have not. I'm still working on it. I'll be working on it till Friday night trying to get it. Vince even had made comment about trying to help me with it, because once I found out that Bob was a friend of Dennis, I thought, man, what a great combination to bring those two in to the store for a signing together. So that's something we might be able to look at for, down the road.
Yeah, because Vince actually mentioned that picture when he was on our show about that particular image being in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, it's awesome. I had it at one time many years ago, and I thought I kept a copy of it, but I haven't been able to find it, and I've been all over the place. It's actually a what did they call it? A wire photo, I believe is what. So it's not it's not like readily available on a lot of websites and stuff. So, but I'm still trying because I really want it bad. So it's kind of like a challenge now.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, good luck with the show. I know I'm going to be getting some things, and you and I have already talked about that. But, hey, let's get moving on. Chet, you refrained last week from picking because you didn't want to give away your picks to Danny, but they wouldn't have done you any good anyway. And I picked the Giants in a high-scoring affair, and I got the high-scoring part right, but it was the Eagles that did the most scoring. So now we're to the playoffs, my friend, and since we have Carl, we're gonna pick his brain too. We're gonna make some picks. And Chet, you're up first. We have 4 games this weekend: Chiefs at Titans. Who you like?
No, who are the Chiefs playing?
Texans. I said Titans. Texans.
There you go.
Yes.
Don't confuse me.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. Got to go with the Chiefs now, and Chiefs will move on.
Carl?
My upset special, I'm going with the Texans.
Wow.
I'm not sure that's that big of an upset. I'm going to go Chiefs, but the Texans are getting to be pretty good, and once they get their quarterback in place, they're going to be good. But I'm going to go one more time with the Chiefs. Steelers-Bengals. Chet.
That's a tough one, man. That is a tough one. Steelers been inconsistent all year. Bengals are home. I'm going to take the home team, Cincinnati.
Carl.
Yeah, I'm right there with the Bengals. I just think home field in the playoffs is big.
I'm going Steelers. Is Andy Dalton playing in that game? I don't believe he is.
You know, I'm not sure if he's back or not.
Marvin Lewis always manages to lose.
Yeah, they haven't done well in the playoffs. I know that.
That's right. All right, Seahawks-Vikings, Chet.
Got to go Seahawks. They have been playing well. They're getting into postseason form, Seahawks in that one.
Carl.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to go Seahawks in that one. I think they're just too strong for a young Vikings team.
And I am going to take Seahawks also. Packers, Redskins, at the Redskins.
Redskins season comes to an end. Green Bay hasn't been great this year, but I think they will beat the Redskins.
Carl.
I'm with the Packers. Packers on that one.
And I am going one more time with the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
They score points. We'll see. Aaron Rodgers.
That won't shock me. It won't shock me if that happens.
It's tough to ever say that Aaron Rodgers can't win a playoff game, but the Packers just haven't been that good to me.
I don't know
if Washington can stop anybody, but those guys can put up points. I'm going Redskins in this one.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see where we go. Yep. Okay. All right. Hey, Chet, we picked the college football semifinals last week, Oklahoma, Clemson, Michigan State, and Alabama. And we both took Clemson and Michigan State, and we look like geniuses in the first one and look like dopes in the second one. Clemson won big and Michigan State got annihilated. So we have Clemson and Alabama, two really good teams. And who are we picking? Carl, you're up first.
I got to go Clemson. I just I can't think of another Alabama win. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with my head and, you know the fact that Bama has been there quite often in recent years. Bama will win it all again.
Well, I tell you what, I really want Clemson to win.
So do I.
But I am the one that always beats the drum about defense wins championships. And after that clinic the Alabama defense put on, I don't know how I could say that they're not going to win. So I'm going to say Alabama, but I am actually going to root for Clemson.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, especially with B-Doc on the sidelines.
That's right. Well, Chet, I don't know that we have time for a parting shot tonight unless you have a very quick one, my friend.
I'm going to save it for one more week. I got these New Year's resolutions for some of our Philly guys, but I can't get them all in under 45 seconds, so we'll do it next week.
Okay, sounds good. So that's going to get us right to the top of our hour, and we'd like to thank our special guest, Carl Henderson, for joining us, along with Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continued support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you will join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, January 13th at 7 p.m. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/boxradio and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
Gene Hart, good night, good hockey.